Blog Talk Radio.
Do you believe that America has become too politically correct? Von Wehhunt speaks truth to power. Do you see the coming of our political and economic demise? Von Wehhunt speaks bluntly about the need to correct America's course quickly. And now, broadcasting from the Eagle's Nest, a man who makes no excuses for putting America first. Here's your host, Von Wehhunt the Barbarian.
America, Happy New Year 2023. We are always a world at war. The Barbarian is here tonight. This is our new show for the new year. Epic episode 136 with a star date of January the 5th, 2023. Wow. I love having the show on Thursday nights because that's when the news culminates pretty much for the week. Thursday is ruled by Thor, the ancient Germanic god, and this show is Triumph of the Will. We're glad you're here tonight. Being the first show of the new season, of the new year, we will give you some of the layout, the format for all of our new listeners all over America and in 27 countries and counting. First time callers get in free. It's 563-999-3437. Match your wits against the regular callers into the show. I challenge you. You'll do well. Maybe not. That's all up to you. But we find ourselves again in our fireside chat, America. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the underworld of principalities, against demonic powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, which seeks to bring good people down into the abyss and hellish pit. Portion of that you can find in Ephesians. The rest I wrote up. Well, regarding the vote for Speaker of the House, we will talk about that tonight. You see how hard it is to rig an election when there are no drop boxes or mail-in voting, and you can verify the identity of everyone who is voting? Rest assured, there's no vote harvest mules being used or Dominion or other company electronic voting machines in the process. Just saying. What we're seeing in the House is a real fight for primacy and supremacy and speakership. You see it in a real election. I love it. It's also so bad it's laughable. We'll get into all that tonight in detail. They've been going round and round. It's going to be very interesting to hear your opinions on all this. I'll tell you what mine is up front. I am for McCarthy being Speaker. I'll tell you why. He's got 200 votes, more than anybody else pretty much that I've seen. I've seen no nomination of anybody who wants the speakership has got anywhere near the votes of McCarthy. You got 20 holdouts on the Republican side that in a way, they are holding the Congress hostage. But in a way, they're also exercising their free speech rights and their right to vote. This is no secret voting either. All these votes are cast. And you know which side everyone's going down on. Who's voting for who? McCarthy is what the Republicans need right now. You need a deal maker in D.C. You need a man that can patch together deals and get legislation brought to the floor and get it sent over to the Senate in a nice, tidy package. He knows the ropes. Is he perfect? Hell no. Far from perfect. He's a lot like Trump. He's his own worst enemy. But he knows that town, but after 20, 30 years, Republicans need someone like Kevin McCarthy. Oh, I get it. They can hold out on their principles. They can hold out on all that and more. But they need to get things done eventually. The good news is that Congress is in stalemate and they can't pass any laws to hurt the American people. That's the great news tonight. There's no laws and no new taxes being passed on the American people. Wonderful. That part I love. Just amazing. Well, Happy New Year's Day, America. Happy New Year, 2023. We have much work to do this year, and that will befall the nation. This will be a very interesting year, I believe. And did you know? This is the Chinese New Year of the Water Rabbit. It's a hopeful year, they say. But we shall see. Chinese New Year 2023 will fall on Sunday, January 22nd, 2023. Why do I mention this? Because these things eerily come true over time. And half the world, it's Asia pretty much, or a good chunk of it, and they believe this stuff. So let me read you what they're talking about with 1.4 billion people in China. Each Chinese year is associated with an animal sign according to the Chinese zodiac cycle. 2023 is the year of the rabbit, specifically the water rabbit. The sign of rabbit is a symbol of longevity, peace, and prosperity in China culture. 2023 is predicted to be a year of hope for the world. Let's hope. War is brewing everywhere. We'll see if the water rabbit comes through. Either way it goes down, America, keep your head on a swivel going forwards. And prepare for any eventuality. We can only hope for the best. So buckle up. Put your crash helmet on because after 2023, it's the year of the fire-breathing dragon. And the year after that, the presidential election year, 2024, it's the year of the snake. How about those apples? We are the Avengers, always, on this show. We will leave no stone unturned in our quest for a better country and nation. Yes. Well, the format of the show, this is our weekly church session. You know, when you go into church, you hear the some music, some organ playing, maybe the homily. You might hear some conjecture by the high priest or pastor or reverend. You hear the people ruffle in, kneel and bow, pray for a better future, pray for a better life for their family, their neighborhood, their kids. Well, that's how I structure this radio show. I'm the high priest of the radio airwaves. This is cult radio like no other. We wish for a better future for our neighborhood, our family, our friends, our life, our country, our nation. So we mix it up a little bit. It's a radio variety show. Now, a lot of people have been emailing me during the course of last year, and everyone wants something different from a radio show. I get it. Some people just want to hear chatter. They just want to hear callers. Many of the comments that I got last year were people want to hear more from me and less from the callers. Some people want to be more entertained. Some want to hear just hard facts, nothing else. Well, we have to mix it up to suit everybody to a certain extent. Though we won't be pulled in any one particular direction because everyone's got a different version of the show and what they want to get out of it, from it, etc. This is your Platform America. This is the man on the street show, if you will. We want to hear from you. And I believe that's why we've always had a big international following, because the international media people in 27 countries, they want to hear from the streets of America. They want to get through our media filter in the New York, D.C. beltway. They want to hear direct from you how you feel about the world, your country, the planet, if you will, et cetera. So it's all good. We're a little bit of this and we're a little bit of that. That's how we're going to continue in the new year. Again, first-time callers get first in line. And we'll get to those here shortly as well. But the world is full of greatness by many people of various heritage or religion. The majority of the humanity on the small planet, in my view, want to live in peace, security, and a sense of family and purpose overall. Over a few decades, as a young buck coming up in America, I became awake to the fact that there are so-called elites and families of an international flavor who think they are entitled to control, and needlessly they try to undermine the people's stability and economy and right to live in peace for their own gains. We have a God-given right to live without any of this tyranny. Now, we've got some interesting news that came out. The archaeologists in Egypt made an astounding find the last few weeks. Not sure if you caught the story. They recreated the great Egyptian pharaoh Ramses II. And did you know that he was of European white origins? Oh, you weren't told that before, were you? We were the real kings of Egypt. Time and time again, they find the mummy, they recreate it, check DNA. They're from Europe. They're not from Africa. The majority so far, from what I can gather. Well, back in Arizona, we had our so-called governor sworn in, Katie Hobbs, the Democrat. She sort of cackled during the private swearing-in ceremony this past week with nervous laughter. Kind of strange to watch. You know, any, I would say, budding psychologist would tell you that nervous laughter is an indication of trying to hide something, trying to submerge something in your subconscious mind. It could be just as innocent as being sworn in. she's cackling like a little girl. Or it could be that because she was Secretary of State, she ran the election, and she's very well aware of all the chicanery here in Arizona. And that's why she was nervously laughing. Strange. No matter how you slice it or dice it. And those terrible, tragic Idaho murders, those young four kids, just an insane crime. The alleged killer, Koberger, was extradited back to Idaho at his first hearing today, denied bail. They better not let that guy out of jail if he is the... the crime scene is so horrendous, and they were killed so bad. It was beyond just stab wounds. You'll find out. Be following that story very, very carefully. If he's guilty, it's one more serial killer. He was a PhD teaching assistant, and he allegedly now stalked these four kids for months. He knew their party house. He knew their parties. He said he was sort of an incel, possibly. Maybe he was very jealous of the young blonde girls that maybe he couldn't get. Who knows? Going to a party house where he was never invited and took revenge. A lot of theories going around about that. More and more will come out. The police have been holding back for good reason. So that's going to be a very interesting story to follow. He drove from Idaho with his father to Pennsylvania. Now he's back in Idaho to face the music, so to speak. Now this year, after all the holidays, we're starting to get into the nitty-gritty of the new year. It's already starting. In Belarus, a Russian satellite nation, they're drafting all men ages 18 to 60 for war. It's going to, they're going to be commencing more fighting over there. Full war mobilization in Belarus and Russia. It's going down this year, one way or the other. I think Putin will try a decisive blow against Kiev, Ukraine. He may even level Kiev to the ground. Is that serious? He can't go on like this, like last year. Huge attrition, things that were happening that were going against his army. The brave Ukrainian fighters are also out there. They're fighting for their homes. I took no sides in this conflict, as they're both wrong in many, many ways. But I will never doubt a man for fighting for his home. Ukraine was invaded. But that country was full of corruption before the Russian invasion as well. And America was thick as thieves in there with CIA and all kinds of operations that were going on. Ukraine was a hotbed for money laundering, allegedly, and weapons plants and all kinds of international espionage. Just a matter of time before it was going to blow up, and it did. Well, that war was going to rage on. Now, a man wrote the show, and he said this. He wrote, "Vaughn loved the show. I fight back against the leftists by arming and teaching my kids about guns and freedom." I agree. And then he writes, "I like what you say in your shows. Keep it up." Adam from Tennessee. Well, thank you, Adam. Appreciate that. Can you say Benedict Arnold, America? We have generals up there that are doing all kinds of crazy things. Allegedly, General Mark Milley hid the nuclear codes from President Trump. He held secret calls behind the commander-in-chief's back with Chinese defense officials and generals. and he surrendered to the Taliban and armed them with $80 billion of U.S. weapons at taxpayer expense. Those are pretty much established at this time. But you think what you will. China conducts military maneuvers near U.S. bases in Guam and Okinawa. Well, I would say we are on to China, doing recon to find the soft spots in America's defenses. Yes, we know all about that. Well, my parents, unfortunately, have deceased for a few years now, but today is a very special day. It's my mom's birthday, January the 5th. Great lady, vivacious lady, gorgeous, and a great mom. And we wish you a very happy birthday in heaven, Mom. Back in the day, she lived in San Bernardino. Met my father at the Air Force Base. She used to sell for a Chicago-based company, Kimberly Clark, and was a great mom, no doubt about it. My father was a warrior for America. He was in the U.S. Air Force, officer, called in the airstrikes in Vietnam against the communist forces that were going against our troops in the field. Was very bright. Back then they called him a statistician, which was a fancy word for air weapons control officer. And he used to brief the generals in Saigon, Air Force HQ, you know, the guy with the pointer, talking about the bombing runs, what's going down, the body counts. He would hear the live feed from the field of our troops in harm's way, had a knack for wind speed, temperature, velocity, all the physics equations and components to call on the F-4 Phantoms to rain down holy hell on the enemy trying to kill our troops in the field. Took real skill. The most lethal man in the Air Force is not the fighter pilot, the air weapons control officer. He controls 100 planes at his beck and call who can rain down fire upon the enemy like nothing else. All fighter pilot can do is fight one-on-one with the enemy and do strafing runs, and they're extremely valuable and important. A bomber can bomb a whole city, but if you're controlling 100 bombers, well, you have the power of mighty Thor at your hands. You have the power of thunder and lightning and earthquakes on the enemy. Love them both. They're in a better place. They're above us all looking down, gentlemen, ladies, wherever you are. Speaking of the ladies, we had the Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy show on Tuesday. If you want more airtime, if you want to get on the show, that's the first Tuesday show of each month, and you can get on there and get some good airtime, because we're always looking for some new callers for that show. It's my newest show, and it's going great. Now, that show is very interesting because it's sort of the precursor to this show. A lot of the younger guys, the young bachelors, millennials, Generation Z and Y, even Generation Xers like me as your Generation X host, maybe even a few boomers like that show. Well, on that show, it's lighter fare, obviously. We're going to have some fun, play some comedy sketches, some great rock and roll. It's not like this hard-hitting geopolitics show every Thursday night, right? So the young guys who aren't really into politics but want to laugh a little bit and just enjoy a radio show can get a lot of the themes of this show on that show. That's why I designed it like that. It's sort of the entry-level Von Wien show. So if they want to have some fun, hear a bit about the economy, how it affects The Bachelor, politics, 101, go to that show. Or go to this show if you wanted to sit back and listen. Who knows, you might learn something. because my callers are the best in the biz. You know, these Democrats are always whining and bitching and complaining about the environment. Well, hey, Democrats, I've got a great, helpful tip for you and to save the planet. Drink water only once every 3 days and eat only once a week. Also, wait 30 seconds between taking your breath or breathing. It'll help reduce your consumption and your carbon footprint, and you'll save the planet and even the polar bears. News from Portland, Oregon, or is it Porkland lately? Had a friend of mine go up there. He goes, man, everyone's obese now walking around the downtown area. Funny as hell. But in Portland news, get this, an elderly man's face was chewed off in a gruesome Portland, Oregon public transit attack. Can you imagine? Damn it, Portland. Feed your homeless. They don't have to eat other people's faces. God. Feed your homeless. You're going to have them up there by the millions. And in NASA news tonight, NASA has now warned that China could claim parts of the moon real estate. No joke. Beijing's space program, they say, has achieved enormous success, the NASA spokesman said. Well, I say, maybe the Nazi SS base on the dark side of the moon will attack the Chinese communist moon base. That'd be one for the history books. The dark side of the moon we never see. Hope springs eternal on that one. The deep state government, Dr. Fauci, is still in the news. Unfortunately, in the Virgin Islands, the attorney general was fired 3 days after suing J.P. Morgan Bank over the Jeffrey Epstein affair. In our Did You Know series, did you know that Chinese news report that 19 of their senior academic experts, China's top academic universities, have died in December, last month? Very strange what is going on inside China these days. Thank God I am not there. Wouldn't be caught in any communist country. They can close the walls on you in no time. Well, folks, we have a big show for you tonight. The Speaker of the House is still in chamber, in discussion, in debate. You know how I feel about it. Nobody else that's been nominated even wants the job. Kevin McCarthy really is what the Republicans need. Sure, he's a Trump guy. But you know what? They need a deal maker. They need someone that can patch deals. A guy that knows the ropes. That's what I say. These other guys might be conservative or whatever. No one's even heard of them. No one's even seen them for 20 years. They came out of the woodwork. Now they want to be speaker. Good luck with that. Well, you reached the infamous and the rogue Von Wien show. We're so glad you're here tonight. We'll play you a German Gothic song, House of the Rising Sun.
Es gibt ein Haus in Neu-Berlin, man nennt es Haus Abendrot. Es war der Ruin vieler guter Jungs, von mir, mein Gott, litt ich Not. Thank you. den Rest meiner Tage bleib ich dort, dort bei dem Haus Abendrot.
Just love that. Well, let's get to a new caller from the Detroit, Michigan area. Well, you're live on the Von Wiegand Show. What's your name?
My name is John.
Hey, John, how you doing, man? Welcome to the show.
I found out about you from a friend of mine that lives in Arizona. She said I should maybe call and introduce myself.
Go for it. I love
I'm
it.
Running. Okay. I'm running for President of the United States as an independent, nonpartisan candidate in 2024. And she thought that you might have a few things you'd like to ask me, or maybe someone in your audience would.
Would this be our mutual friend, Harper, from the German Forest?
That would be the one.
Great. Now tell the audience your full name again as an independent candidate.
It's John Stasevich, S-T-A-S-E-V as in Victor, I-C-H, and my website.
Excellent. And you live in Detroit, Michigan?
I actually live in Boyne, Michigan, which is northwest of the Lower Peninsula, right along Lake Michigan.
Okay. Excellent. Now, do you have a campaign website or anything going on at this time?
Yes, it's www.johnstasevich2024.com.
Awesome, awesome. And tell us your platform for the presidency and for America, if you've got that written down or in front of you or memorized.
Well, I'll give you some of the really big bullet points. Number one, I want to remove all special interest funding from our political process. I think that we need to have publicly funded elections to end the corruption and so that the people's voice and votes will count instead of the depth of the donors' pocketbooks. That would be one item.
Cool.
Another one would be to actually our working class citizens and our families' interest at the very top of the national agenda, ahead of a handful of oligarchs and corporate corrupted political leaders from this duopoly known as Republicans and Democrats, who've had a monopoly on power, the White House and political power, for my entire lifetime.
Right.
I'd like to put an end to the endless wars that are destructive, that are fought for profit, and not for the profit of the American people and our families, but for a profit of a handful of people, a very tiny group of people, probably about the size that would fit in my living room.
Yes.
And I'd like the world in a different way. I'd like to cooperate and collaborate to get things done, so that we can work together to solve some of the big problems that our nation faces, and frankly, that all of humanity faces.
I like that, John. That's nice. How long have you known Harper? Now, I have a local moniker for her. I call her Helga from the Germanic Forest. She's been on the show before a few times. How'd you get to know her?
Well, she went to my website and contacted my campaign. Now she's on my campaign committee.
Excellent. Well, yeah, she mentioned you to me, and I said, well, we'll be glad to put him on the air, have him call in on Thursday, and here we are. Wonderful. See, this is what I like. This is from the streets of America. Real people running for office, doing real things in the real world. That's what the legendary Von Wiegand Show has always been about. And right now, we don't like either party. I'm very independent myself. Though we do lean right, I will admit, but only because we believe in the way the country used to be. I always kid people and say, people were Democrats back in the day. What was funny was they would go home and they would run their household very conservatively if they would go out and express liberal ideals, you know, and the converse could be true for the Republicans. But most Americans want pretty much the same things in general. What would you say are the top five things that Americans want in their personal lives?
Well, they want security. They want both economically and physical security. They'd like to make sure that their children have a high quality of life, which would include health care, a good education, the ability to meet their own economic needs, and to actually participate in communities and in our society. So
yes,
those are
good.
Probably the big
what is your Oh, sorry, go ahead.
One thing I do kind of reject is the use of labels. I think that they've been really misused. I mean, for instance, conservative. If I understand conservative, that means the root word would be conserve, which would be something about having to do with efficiency, correct?
Yeah, and the thing about conservatives is they don't conserve anything. I bash them all the time.
Well, you know,
they don't conserve a damn thing.
Well, one of the things
they don't conserve the country. They haven't conserved anything.
Things that they talk about all the time. Capitalism. Now, I don't see anything conservative about capitalism personally.
Well, you know, capitalism right now is about the best overall system. But my thing is, conservatives have been saying for decades they want smaller government, right? And they vote for the $1.7 trillion spending bill of last month that they stuck through. They talk a big game. Because when I was a kid, saying that you were a conservative really meant something. But now it doesn't. The last 30, 40 years, I've seen the Republicans join the Democrats. It's called the Uniparty in D.C. So I kid people and I say, yeah, there's two parties, all right. There's the one in D.C., and there's all the rest of us in flyover country. Those are the two parties because the Republicans are always talking about consensus with the Democrats. What's your thoughts on
that?
Well,
I would argue that we only have one party, actually. And the reason I come to that conclusion is because they're both funded by the same groups, same industries. And so I have to believe that, you know, when your paycheck depends on you, you know, who's paying it and what they want, you're going to follow suit. So if a handful of billionaires can go and buy our Congress, and you got the same group buying both parties so that no matter who wins, they win, and the American people generally lose every election in that instance, I don't know how we can actually say we have two parties. It seems more like one party disguised as a two-party system. And then they very effectively create these wedge issues designed specifically to divide the working class. So I don't see the divide as left versus right so much as the very tiny group that have everything and the masses that basically don't even have a voice.
Oh, I agree. And we have billionaires, too. They get into the COVID vaccine like Bill Gates. And they fund that.
Well,
guy isn't even a doctor. He does not have a medical degree. Why is that billionaire dictating to America and the world to take an experimental government vaccine?
That's what billionaires do. But you know what? That's one of the characteristics of capitalism is to concentrate wealth.
Yeah, but it's not right. But what I'm saying is once he gets the money, there's no checks and balances for a guy like Bill Gates to get up there and talk about the experimental vaccine and fund
right,
it.
But the question,
and he gets courted on every damn TV show. The guy isn't even a doctor.
Yeah, but the question we ought to be asking ourselves is that you're dealing with a symptom. The question you have to ask yourself is why is it that the money is concentrated in the hands of maybe eight guys that basically own everything. They've got the controlling interest thing, which means that they've got the ones with a voice. And so they have enough money also to buy our Congress. And then the Congress, these so-called two parties, I'll call it one party, the corrupted one, they're going to pass the laws that they've been instructed to pass because they're being paid to do so. And then, of course, these same guys own the mainstream media. And they control the mainstream media, which basically is their propaganda machine. And again, they use these wedge issues, and you name it. They're specifically designed to divide us against one another, when in reality, the working class people have very common interests that we talked about right up front. What are our common interests? We want representation. We want to be represented and have a voice in our government. We don't have that. We want to have make sure our kids have a good education. We don't have that. We'd like an efficient system that doesn't, we don't have to overpay for everything. So for, as an example, you talk about Germany. Germany has a healthcare system. They spend about $6,000 per capita, and we spend about $12,000 per capita. Their objective healthcare outcomes are among the best in the world, always number one, two, or three based on, you know, a number of different studies, while the United States is the lowest in the industrialized world. So we spend $6,000 more per capita, and just rounding numbers, we got 332 million, but let's say 300 million people times $6,000 or times $6,000 times 10 years. You know how much money that is?
It's a lot of money.
$18 trillion every decade that we spend additional, what we spend more than Germany. They have the best outcomes. We have the lowest outcomes. You want to tell me what's wrong with that?
Well, a lot of things are wrong with that.
And they provide health care to every single citizen from before birth through their entire lifespan.
Right. Well, we're now living, many people say, in the New World Order anyway. It's already started, and we have to fight against it. What's your position on the New World Order and the Great Reset? Except, you know, they're always talking about that in Europe, as you mentioned, and by Klaus Schwab, the WEF, and the EU. And what's your take on that albatross and that ogre, that new system that they want to put on America's back?
Well, I mean, the whole world operates the way we do. I mean, basically the whole world is capitalist, okay? And including what we would call communist China. The way I look at communist China is half of it is funded by oligarchs, their own, and the other half is funded by state capitalists. Those are bureaucrats in a party. It's all capitalism. The people who have no voice are the ones that actually produce the goods and the services, the working class, right? So they're no different than we are. The only thing is we've just got private oligarchs that make all the decisions for us, and they buy the political system, and they just divided their country in two. They say, well, half of them are going to be state oligarchs who are going to centrally manage. They're going to be just a slice above the private ones, and then they've got their private oligarchs. But they've got the same basic problem that we have. Their people, their working class people, don't have a voice. So the answer to the question is that we have to make sure that we change the ownership model. And that means putting the workers should be the owners of the enterprises in which they work, not just a tiny group of people on a board of directors or investors from Wall Street.
Well, that's the age-old argument of capitalism and everything. Look, I think most Americans right now would have no problem taxing the billionaires, just so you know. I mean, I would have no problem with that. If they were taxed, they have so much money now anyway. But my point is there aren't enough billionaires in the world to fund, or in America to fund our national debt at $32 trillion, or to fund everything that we want anyway. But it would make a big dent, no doubt about it. But the world's always had uber rich. I'm not so sure we're going to be able to change that with a new system. But what's your take on immigration and the invention of America in Europe?
Well, the debt is an accounting system. It's made up by – it's like all accounting systems are made up. So the reason we're in debt is because a handful of people are robbing the public piggy bank, so to speak. See, we don't own our own money, but a handful of oligarchs do, and they have a Federal Reserve Bank, which is a private bank. So we don't have our own banking system, so we don't have money. So the meaning of debt for you and I is meaningless. All it means is that not only our generation, but our children's generation are going to have to work off a debt for money we never took.
Right. I've always said for many, many years that the Rothschild Bank, the Federal Reserve, it isn't federal. As you stated, it's a private bank. Everyone should know that here by our college course here on the radio for advanced learning. And these are digitized monies and amounts in accounting that they put off to the side. I've always said that the $32 trillion really is Washington, D.C.'s debt. They should pay it, not the rest of America. Really,
well,
the ultimate.
It's all make-believe. It's a few buttons on a computer. They just make it up as they go. If you own
exactly
the system, if you make up all the rules, and then the rest of us have to live by the rules. See, the problem is we don't have a democracy. And we are not going to have a democracy until we can elect a president who is funded only by the people to represent the people. If I got elected as president, it would be the first time in American history that they actually had someone that represented us instead of a handful of oligarchs. So America's never...
Oh, I agree. Nobody is for the oligarchs in Russia or America or anywhere else. But who'd you vote for in the last election?
Let's see. In the last election, I went with the Green Party candidate, Howie.
Okay. And who before that in 2016 against Trump and Hillary?
Stein. But I realized that, before that it was Jill Stein. So I went with the Green Party last couple times. And,
gotcha.
And the reason for the Green Party is basically, I described the German healthcare system, but you could look at the Netherlands, or you could look at Finland or Sweden or any of the Scandinavian, or you could look at Japan. Most of the countries in the world, they have a much more effective, efficient system, and they provide healthcare to all of their people from, like I said, before birth all the way through the lifespan. And their outcomes are better than ours. So our system is not very efficient when it comes to healthcare delivery, and it's very costly. And so, we need to look at our competitors and see what they're doing. And if they're doing a better job, at minimum, we should copy them. I think we could improve on it.
Oh, yeah. America is a very inefficient country. Absolutely. I want to get your stance or your platform on immigration into America, legal and illegal. What's your take on what's going on at the border with Mexico?
Well, that's another funny thing. I mean, when you say illegal immigration, remember, all these borders are man-made. I believe in humanity and human health. There's a place in Geneva, Switzerland. Actually, it's a scientific site, the Hadron Collider. You might be familiar with that.
Yes. CERN.
Okay. Collider was built by thousands of scientists from hundreds of countries speaking dozens of languages. It's the most complex machine that man has ever built, and it's given us insight into actual reality. Not what somebody thinks it is, but what it actually is, right? This is what you get when you have humans that can collaborate. You can get things like that, okay? That's the kind of world we want. And you can't do it by setting up borders and trying to say, well, you can't cross that line because you're not the right, you weren't born in the right place. And because your birthright isn't here, stay the hell out. I find that to be disgusting. I think that there should be no borders. I think they're all man-made. And that's why we have to cooperate and collaborate with the world if we really want to get things done.
Let me ask you this, John. We all know that America is the number one destination for all the third world people. Now, the UN has estimated that 250 million people in third world countries want to go to America. would you allow in 250 million Americans, folks, you know, from the third world nations to come in here and to basically invade our country with overwhelming numbers, and that would dramatically change our demographics even more so than they are today? You're saying have no borders, open the country up.
Yeah, no. Let's face it, man.
No one's going to Bolivia. No one's trying to get into Peru. No one's trying to get into Qatar or Saudi Arabia where they behead people, right?
Let me answer your question and tell you what I would do, okay? I would do is every time I face a problem, I go to the root cause of the problem. The question, it's not that people love to leave the land that they were born onto, love to leave their families, love to leave their nations. They don't love to do that. They're doing that out of fear. They're doing that because the place they live has been destabilized. So what you have to find out is what is it that's destabilizing this many people that makes them want to leave? Now, when you start looking at it that way, and you talk about Ukraine and this war we're in that we just spent, $105 billion supporting? You know that even though Russia was the one that attacked, I think you recognized earlier, there are a lot of people involved in this thing, and it's not as simple as, he's the aggressor, he's the cause.
Actually, that's right.
This has been going, right? So you know.
Absolutely.
Right. So Douglas, who's the lieutenant colonel? Douglas, what is his name? I'm losing. Douglas McGregor. You ever hear him?
Oh, yeah. Yes. I want to get him on the show eventually.
Right.
I already emailed.
You know, when you talk to guys like that, they explain how the United States was involved in destabilizing that part of the world. And it makes sense if you want to sell military hardware. Right?
Absolutely.
I mean, if I'm in the business of selling military hardware, what would put me out of business?
Stability.
Yeah, not blowing it up. A civilized world, a peaceful world, right? And so if you're going to have a military complex, and we've known this, I mean, way back, Smedley Butler, back in the 20s, told us.
That's right.
That was the, right?
With FDR.
And Eisenhower.
Yep.
Exodus. So we've known about this problem. If you're in a business, let's suppose you had the technology to build an automobile that would go 5 million miles and be very efficient, right? You had that technology. But because of our business model, if you built it, you'd be out of business because you'd never get a return customer, would you? And so we have to be inefficient because our economic system demands it. You can't be profitable unless you have a commodity item that's going to fail or be depleted. And that's why capitalism's inefficient, because the only thing in the equation that matters is profit. You need to do it. You have to have profit or you perish. And so you can't blame the capitalist for doing what he does because he has no choice. But that's the economic system. So we have to go to the root cause of the problem, which is the system. It isn't the people within the system, which is why I don't blame people. Even Warren Buffett, I don't blame him because he can manage within the system to become a billionaire. I have to question the system that would allow that to happen.
Right. But let me say this, John. I don't blame the people either for wanting to come to America. I get it, man. If I was a, Juan Valdez down there in Ecuador picking coffee beans, seriously, I'll go, man, America is the land of milk and honey and manna from heaven. Let's go up there. Screw this working stuff. Let's ditch the burrow. Let's march up there in the next caravan. We can sneak over the border, apply for government benefits. They can tax you more and me more to fund it. And we'll have a wide open border, which is pretty much open now. It's a big joke, right? So I totally get why people want to come, because it's like I was saying before, no one's tripping over themselves to get into Venezuela, a communist nation pretty much, or Brazil. No one's trying to get into African nations. No one's trying to get into Mexico pretty much, except to come here. No one's trying to get into Ukraine. unless they're a mercenary. So there's not many places in the world that are nice, or at least relatively nice, for these people to go to. And you're right. I agree with you. We have helped to destabilize a large chunk of the world, too.
Well, we've been doing that. I mean, Smedley Butler's whole story. I mean, he spent his whole life in Central and South America destabilizing every other competitor. So,
that's
you know,
right.
Capitalists, we don't like competitors.
And he said it's a racket. He's right. It's a racket.
Good competitor, right? And so what is communism really? You know, the root word for communism is commune. You know, and you know what a commune is? Kind of like a family. My family's a commune, actually. You know, we're all equals. We sit there. We make decisions together. We discuss things. We all have a voice and a say. We don't have dictators. We don't have oligarchs. And when it comes time to cook the turkey meal, we all share it. I may have been the one that worked to pay for it. I'm the dad. But I know that if I invest in my kids like I did, and I have one who's a biophysicist and a professor who has done things that no human has ever done in his field, not only he supports himself, but he gives back to humanity. He's developing technologies that are going to change this world. I've got a daughter with a master's degree who's a speech pathologist, works with disabled children to help them do better in life and have a high-quality life. And she's capable of supporting herself and her family and my five grandkids. And so we know what to do and how to do it if you want to have a healthy, productive, happy society. It would be like what I did to create my happy, healthy, productive family. We just have
right.
to do it over. So what I want to
what
do.
What I'm saying is that now you know that your critics. Right, just to interject here. You know that your critics now, people will say that green is the new red, right? Have you ever heard that phrase?
Green is the new red.
There are some people
maybe
that the Green Party are the new communists in the world, just so you know. Some people say that. You need to know that as a candidate, because on the street, people think like that. Now, I get what you're saying. We all want a better world. You do and I do and everyone does. We all want that, but
the labels
right, and both parties suck. Yeah, both parties suck. But, yeah, just let me finish here. People will vote themselves tax dollars from our treasury, and if no one's working to replenish the treasury under whatever system that we're talking about, at some point, it fails. That's why communism has failed all around the world. So that's one system that we do not want in America is communism. We don't want that because eventually they line people up and they shoot them. They don't like them. You're thinking too capitalist or you're too freedom-loving. Look at China. Great example. Tyranny. I mean, we think it's bad over here, and it is. But sometimes worse over there.
China's not a communist country, though. I explained it to you. It's a state capitalist country. They're state capitalists. It's a handful of guys who have political power who make all of the economic decisions. They're like oligarchs, except they're between an oligarchy and a state capitalist system. So to call China a communist is to say, I don't understand communism, which is why, rather than using the labels, communist, green, red, instead of using labels, that's an excuse for not thinking.
But John, labels work because that's what they call themselves. I take the words out of their own mouth.
Right.
They call themselves Chinese Communist Party, CCP.
You know what? That because they may call themselves that, but, you know, we also call ourselves a democracy. Do you believe we're a democracy?
No, because we are supposed to be a republic, not a democracy. We were set up by the founding fathers to be a republic.
Oh, but every
we were never.
Hey, we're fighting for democracy. Haven't you heard that?
Well, I don't say that. That's what the leftist media says. They say we're fighting for democracy. We're really fighting for our republic.
And there's no left media, no right. There's the media.
Well, I think there is. I think there is.
Well,
I disagree with you there. I think there is. I think there's a definitely a leftist Democrat. It's just known that the Democrat Party runs the media in this country. It's not the Republicans. They don't run the big newspapers, the big TV shows. They're all pretty Democrat-oriented.
No, they don't run anything. What they do is they just do the bidding of the guys that fund them, and those are the people that own them.
Well, yeah, and there are many Democrat companies, too, that fund them. There's many Democrats. I mean, I came from corporate America. Let me tell you, a lot of the upper management of corporate America is not Republican now. It's Democrat. It's been Democrat for 20, 30 years.
We only have one party. They're funded by the same guys.
Many times they are. Many times they are.
Go look at the records on contributions on where these guys get their money. They all get it from the same place, the military, and the same corporations and the same industries. And it's the military industrial, and it's the pharmaceutical, and it's big oil and energy. They all get their money from the same guys. It all comes from the same place. And so to call them two different parties is to delude yourself. They're funded by the same guys, and they do what they're told because they know where their paycheck, right?
I've always said we've had one party in D.C. We have one party in D.C., absolutely.
In order for us to change that, we have to put people in there that are funded by us. So I don't necessarily need people's money, but I do need their votes. I do need them to get out on the street and talk to their neighbors and say, hey, we can do better. And here's how. And the question that I have for people is, why is it that we put up with a handful of people dictating within our enterprises where we work and spend most of our lives? Why is it that a handful of people get to make all those decisions while the workers can't? The workers go in, they do their job, and they work 9 to 5, let's say, and at the end of the day, whatever they produce, they leave that behind and they go home, and somebody else decides what's going to happen with the revenue and the profit, not the workers. So what would be wrong with a worker ownership model? I work there. I have one vote, one share of stock. It's only a system that somebody made up. And the ones that made it up are the guys with all the money. And it's been going that way forever and ever. It's time.
I know. And you know what, John? It's time for you and I to get some of that cash. Let's get some of that cash, man. We need to fund ourselves, right?
That's right. Right. We need to own it, and then we're going to be responsible. Because once you own it,
we need that money on Main Street USA. I'm all for America first. I'm all for our people first. And I do believe in borders, for the record. I know you don't, but I definitely get you. But my thing is, there will never be a utopia. Because the problem is, everyone wants to come here. They don't want to go anywhere else. We have a lot of problems. We have too many people in Arizona, for example, driving around with no insurance, man. They're from Mexico, Guatemala, Nicaragua, Ecuador. I don't blame them for being here. But when they hit you or me, guess what? We get stuck with the bill, man. That's what I'm talking about. That's nitty-gritty street politics 101. And that's what people see.
Well, maybe if we stop funding the military to the point where, you know, they went and destabilized the world, instead we could bring up our boys home and have them building an infrastructure here, like a high-speed rail system that would actually be efficient to transport people, rather than 90% of the vehicles in the United States, 2- and 3-car garages, and these vehicles sit 80% of the time. There's a model for inefficiency if you're talking about moving people. And in terms of safety, now, automobiles, personal automobiles are not safe because, number one, people can't be trusted to drive. We're not well enough educated, and we don't have the alertness to drive safely. You got bullet trains in other countries that transport billions of people with a perfect safety record, and they do it more efficiently. Now, that's the kind of system we should have. But when you're not owning the system, when you got a handful, 8 billionaires have more wealth than 60% of our population, 8 guys. And it's about the same thing on a global level. And who?
Well, let's put it up for a vote. Let's see what the American people have to say about it. John, I would love to talk some more. We're kind of running short on time. But give the all folks, right. I really enjoyed our jocularity and our conversation here. Tell the folks again your website that you're running for president. Go for it.
Okay, I will. It's www.johnstasovich2024.com. And if you go there, there's a form that you can fill out near the bottom of the webpage that says that you're going to volunteer to help me get on the ballot in 2023 so that you can vote for me in 2024. And so I'm building a coalition to compete against the duopoly. And not only is this coalition going to work for me, this ballot access initiative that I'm doing, any independent or third-party candidate that wants to run, they'll get on the ballot as well. So I'm building this thing, not just for me, but it will be an independent volunteer organization going forward, way beyond my campaign.
Very good. John, thank you so much for calling the show. Appreciate it. We give everyone a platform and time to speak, and I really appreciate your call tonight, man. Best of luck to you. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
You bet. And have a great night. Thank you, sir.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Great call there from John. Very interesting. We take calls from all over the country. And we'll get to this call in Florida. And I believe Tallahassee. You're live on the Von Wien Show. What's your name and where are you from? Are you there? Going once. You get your hand raised. You're on the air. Are you there? We'll come back to you. You are called on by the show. Stand and deliver. Be ready. We'll get to Paul the Gladiator next, right after this.
My generation got our driver's license at 14, had a job at 16, and moved out at 17. Your generation is still trying to define what a woman is and living in your parents' basement until you're 35. My generation grew up on uncensored everything. Your generation censors everything. My generation shotguns, rode dirt bikes, and went camping for fun. Your generation stares at your phone all day and dances on the internet in your sister's underwear. My generation knew how to make decisions, important ones. Your generation can't even decide which bathroom to use. My generation wants the truth and the facts, no matter how uncomfortable they are. Your generation is so offended that the truth and the facts don't support whatever outlandish bull is floating around in your imagination that you've started labeling everything that you don't agree with as misinformation. My generation has two genders. Your generation has 89,347 and counting. My generation judges people on whether or not they're an asshole. Your generation judges people on race, weight, religion, sex, gender, financial standing, something that they tweeted 20 years ago in grade 8 when they were drunk for the first time. Your generation cancels everything you don't agree with. My generation doesn't give a f*** about the things we don't agree with. Beat it, loser. My generation fights for the right to party. Your generation doesn't fight, doesn't like having rights, and doesn't like to party. What the f*** is wrong with you guys? My generation is going to be able to handle the new music video that I'm dropping on Friday. Your generation is going to have a meltdown.
That's from, it's called My Generation. I hope you enjoy that. Let's get to Paul the Gladiator here. He's been, he wants to chime in about the Katie Hobbs. I don't blame him. The so-called new governor of Arizona and the debacle in Congress with the House Speaker vote. We'll get him on the air here in a minute. And Gladiator, you're on the air. How's it going tonight?
Pretty good, man. A giant owl just flew in front of my windshield here at the ranch, man. That's so awesome.
A giant owl. I love it.
It was Donald Trump huge.
It's huge, Trump style. It's huge. God.
The Trump organization debt is huge.
Huge. I love it when Trump would say that. I laughed my ass off.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, that guy was hysterical. Great for ratings.
Yep.
CNN has lost so much revenue because Trump isn't president any longer.
Right.
So they lost millions of dollars of advertisers.
Yeah,
they're all bummed out. Exactly.
Nobody wants to advertise. Nobody wants to advertise with a guy that walks, 18 miles an hour. I mean, this guy walks so slow. It's not even funny. Man.
What's your take on John, the independent candidate running for office? He's a little bit of Green Party, and I agree with Lincoln, a little bit libertarian there in the chat room we were talking. A little bit of this and a little bit of that. What's your take on that call?
I mean, he seems a little bit of everything. I think he was green, red, open for no borders. That's pretty, I mean, that's kind of liberal, if you ask me.
Me too.
You know, like,
nice guy, though.
Like he said all the borders are man-made. Like, well, yeah. Like, God or the devil didn't make them. Like, we made them. Man fought wars.
Perfect.
Man fought wars for land and created a border and saying, this is our land right here. This is ours. We fought for this.
That's right. We fought for it. It's not yours. You
know, revolutionary fathers and Minutemen from Paul Revere to George Washington fought for this land and literally kicked England back out, and then they kicked the French out, and then kicked England back out. Like, yeah, like, no, we're not opening our borders to the world, man. Like, it's devastating to our country. These people come in, they get free health care, they get free money to live, they get free food, they all get the food card. Everybody comes here to get free food, they shop for America, and then they land here. And it's the rare ones that go out and work their tails off. It's not the majority. It's the super minority that work their tails off for the American dream, okay? That's my company called the American Dream. So it's almost insulting to say, open the borders, let them all in. You know what? I'm not paying for them. Sorry. I got to retire one day, too. So do you. So does Lincoln. We all need to retire one day. I'm not working for the Indians. I'm not working for the Bolivians. I'm not working for the El Salvadorians. I'm not working for the Africans. Screw them. Go fight your own war. Go fight your own civil war and beat back those tyrants. And then you'll have a country worth fighting for, keeping, and having people say, that's where I want to go. I want to go where those badass dudes kicked all the tyrants out. Now that's a free land I can work in and raise a family in. Don't come and steal our country. Don't do that. And don't proliferate that by saying open borders, no borders. Man made the borders. Well, yeah, we made the borders. There was no, like, God-like sentence that said, and America will be here, and Australia will be there, and France will be there. Nobody laid that down on stone. But, yeah, we made this. We fought for this, man. I mean, we're not giving it up.
That's right. We're not giving up one damn inch of it.
Yeah.
I agree. So, and for the record, like I told us, I'm for strong borders, man. I'm not for this free-for-all. Because nobody wants to go to any other country. They all want to come here. We cannot absorb the whole world. The mongrel hordes. We can't take them all in. Sorry. It's close.
That's right. So, yeah, would not vote for that kind of candidate.
Well, that's why I wanted to bring it out of him, because that to me is the key thing of our future is any candidate. Let's get off this means of production, the billionaires, who owns what. I get all that class warfare stuff. What I want to know is any candidate, you ask them, Congress, state legislator, president, whatever, dog catcher, what's your stance on the border? Are you for millions of people coming in with no and having no border, no effective border? If that's your position, you know, I beat it out of them. I'm glad John called. Nice man. Very intelligent man in many, many ways. But on that key issue, we disagree. And I have no problem telling someone that. We disagree on that.
That's where we draw the line. That's right.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Speaking of drawing the line, so, yeah, the – the so-called governor-elect, now governor, Katie Hobbs, formerly and currently the Secretary of State, by the way.
Yes.
Like she had to sign, she signed that out. There's no effective Secretary of State right now, so she's the default Secretary of State while she took the governor job. Never relinquished the Secretary of State, had a voting job when she was running for governor, all the way through the fight over the ballots. Never gave it up. And she held a private, first ever, for Arizona, private swearing-in ceremony. Her, the former governor, and a camera, and one mm-hmm. judge. And she swore the oath of office while she was laughing and cackling with this nervous laughter, which for me, being an avid poker player for many years and studying, you know, while I was a law enforcement officer, studying body language and signs and signals, body tells, cackling nervous laughter is a telltale sign of you're lying, you're bluffing, you're cheating. And that nervous laughter, that cackle nervous laughter, what's very fake and phony is that defense mechanism that the body produces to cover up the lie, to cover up the cheat, to cover up the steal, to cover something up. And being that she's just been a, you know, second-rate politician most of her life, and she cheated in this election and, you know, turned all the machines off in the most Republican district, the most Republican district, Arizona and Maricopa County, where all those voters had to be sent out, try to find another polling place, go somewhere else. All these printers that we confirmed last night and this morning were working, they're not working. Sorry, can't print a ballot. Can't do it with this equipment, which was bullshit. And so during that nervous laughter, during that cackling job, who puts their hand on a Bible and cackles and laughs while they take the oath of office? Who does that? All right? So we already know she cheated, she lied, she stole that office away from Carrie Lake.
And you're not taking the job seriously if you cackle and laugh while putting your hand on the Bible, the sacred text, and raising your right hand in front of the people of Arizona. You're not taking that governor job very seriously, are you?
She didn't raise that in front of the people of Arizona. She raised it in front of a camera.
Right.
Private session.
That was the,
yeah, so she,
private, right.
She
didn't private, but, right. But I mean, I am the governor of Arizona. I was just making that as a general statement. You're raising your right hand to take the oath of office to be the governor of the people of Arizona, and you're laughing and cackling about it. And that's very, very indicative to me of how she feels about the job and us and the state. It's pretty sad.
Yeah, I think it's the fact that she knows she got one over on us. Or why would she laugh and cackle? And I mean, it was just really an odd laugh and cackle. It was just the most ridiculous. Never heard anybody like that. Anybody can go on YouTube and Google. I mean, you can search for that video of her swearing into office. You'll find it very disturbing. If that was your governor, not my governor, I just moved into the most Republican city in Arizona. And I am just over the border and happy as hell about it. Just over the border in this town, I can literally see the city line where Phoenix is Democrat and I'm not. And I'm right inside the border of the most Republican city. So, yeah, that's fodder. She's a joke. This whole, she's going to, you know, try to, she said within, you know, weeks, she's going to try to change the voting on the gun law. Thank God we still have a Republican Senate and a Republican House here that she'll never get that passed through. But interestingly enough, I don't know if everybody knows this, but the state of Michigan, you know, she beat that gorgeous Republican candidate. So she's still the governor. Idiot over there. And although they've had a Republican House and Republican Senate in the state of Michigan for decades, they are now Democrat, both the House and Senate in Michigan. She's going to change all the gun laws. And I'm going to tell you, that Michigan militia, they're going to stand up. This is not going to end well in the state of Michigan. They are never giving up AK-47s. They're never giving up their automatic semi. They're never giving. That's going to be the most telling sign of where America is going to go is what's going to happen between the governor and the Michigan militia. What's going to happen when the governor sends in state police, National Guard?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to drop the Michigan militia women who have signed oaths to protect that land if their husbands die in battle. The women are mm-hmm. that serious. This is not going to end well in Michigan, folks. Mark my words, this is just the very tip of the iceberg, beginning of what's going to happen up there. Within 2 years, within 24 months, you're going to have what happened under Obama when he had to put his tail under his legs after he sent all the law enforcement in to that Idaho-Oregon border, right? Oregon-California-Idaho border. And those guys were like, get the fuck off our land or you're going to fucking die right now. Pardon my French.
That's right.
And they lined up about 500 guys lined up, 100 times five, and they said, you cross that line, we're shooting you. And the
That's
federal
right.
law enforcement, the state law enforcement, they all backed down, and Obama didn't even say a word after he's like, we're going in. And after that, he never mentioned it again. Never mentioned it again. Michigan militia are five times badder than those guys there. And those guys are pretty bad, but the Michigan militia, you know, you're going after the Minutemen in the Revolutionary War at that point. Good luck.
They sure are. And let me tell you, folks, you have no clue what's going to come out of the woodwork on these things. If the government makes some really egregious moves, like Paul's saying, in the near future, we've talked about in War Games these things on the show before. There is a line that will not be crossed. And if they want to play war with these people, Michigan militia or other militias in the country, and attack them on their ranch, their farms, there's going to be a lot of skirmishes at the very least. There could be some outright battles that you're going to hear about. And look, I've always said, if you're looking for trouble, and if you're in the government, you came to the right place. If you're going to keep poking the bear, keep poking people, keep messing around with people, keep effing with people, people will say, hey, I don't view you as a legal authority anymore. I view you as my enemy. How about those apples?
Right.
So people
right.
will
exactly.
view you. They will not
yep.
view you as a respected official, an officialdom with your shiny badge, shiny belt buckle. They'll view you like the Redcoats, 1776, trying to take them off their land, trying to burn down the barn, burn down the farm, attack their kids, family, and livestock and crops. There's a lot of farms up in Michigan, and I know those people, and they will stir up a hornet's nest, Paul. Let me tell you.
Oh, man, that's going to be a get-your-popcorn-and-watch moment, I swear to God.
That's
exactly what that's going to be, you know?
Damn right. And the country will be for the people. I'm for the people. I'm against all these tyrannical people with a badge or a title who think they can lord it over you. We fought many, many wars. And don't forget, folks, we fought the British twice. We fought the Redcoats twice.
Right.
Kicked their ass out of America. They came back
right.
in the War of 1812. Tried to retake it. We kicked their ass again.
That's right. Get out. Don't belong
around. They don't belong here. We don't want to be under your king, your queen, or your parliament. They used to be lucky we're friends with you now. We used to be warring enemies for 100 years.
Yeah.
What are your final thoughts to America, Paul?
Oh, man. Get into a Republican section. Plant your frickin' roots. save your cash now, save it, man. Cash, like I spoke about on Tuesday night.
I mean,
save your cash because people are dumping assets, and you should be able to grab the best assets possible. We were talking about that RV motorhome. I missed out. I laid that offer, and I think somebody offered just a couple of thousand more, but I tried to steal it at 7,500. I think somebody gave the guy like 12, somewhere around there.
Yes.
But
you gave it a shot.
But I got the badass truck for 2,500 bucks because when people are dumping, honestly, I'm going to go buy three or four more. I got the guy's number. I said, you call me when you got another one or two or three you're taking out of the fleet. I'm going to start buying these. 2,500. Somebody already offered me 7,500 to 8,000 for this right now, as is.
Oh, I believe it. I told you. Yeah, 6 to 8 grand resale, and you stole that for 2,500. Paul bought a new ranch truck, folks, for his horse ranch in Scottsdale. Phenomenal deal. Phenomenal.
Yep.
Love it. Large truck, V10, what you need.
Yeah,
plenty of power.
V10. Extra long bed, extra long cab, four door, XL Super Duty, big boy. And this is all the guy drives. You know, he has 117 for his employees, construction company. I'm going to buy probably three or four more from the guy. Like, hey, when you do your next fleet rollover, just call me. I'll bring 10 grand cash, buy four, and then turn. Those are going to have more miles because I stole this one with a lot less. But I could probably flip those for, you know, probably 6 grand each. Take the first, you know, 5,500, do four at a clip. Hey, you pick up 10, 11, 12 grand in a fast, you know, 2 week turnaround, you know, because he's dumping the assets now, because if he doesn't get financing for his new trucks now, he already knows he's going to pay through the roof in a year or two. That's why he's like, yeah, I'm going to roll this fleet. I'm like, well, you know what? You're going to roll it right into my bank account, you know? Be ready. If you save money now while you can, you know, stop spending on your credit cards. Stop buying things that don't make sense and save that money. Go buy cheap groceries. Don't go out to dinner. Save all that money. Stop smoking. Put that, you know, $800 a year in your bank account. So that when people start dumping assets more and more over the next 24 months, remember, Biden ain't going nowhere for 24 months. This economy is not going to fix itself because he will not sign bills Republican House send. The Senate's not going to approve them that this Republican House sends. So we're really stuck between a rock and a hard place financially now. It's just going to get worse. Interest rates are going up. Believe me, going up. They're going to go up. I've been saying it all along. Vaughn knows. I've been saying it again and again. They're going to go up 3/4 of a point, 3/4 of a point, 1/2 point, 3/4 of a point, 1/2 point. With the inflation rate over 8%, that means interest rates have to get over 8% to kick inflation down. And it's the only tool that these two idiots, Powell and Yellen, know because they were in the reverse positions between 2008 and 2015. They were flipped Treasury and Fed chair. Now they just reversed roles. Well, they're idiots. They're total idiots. That's why inflation grew then. That's why it's growing now. They don't know how to fix it. They have no wherewithal. And that's it. We're in a cooked situation, and we can't do anything about it. And if you don't save your cash and start scooping assets that you can make money on, you're never going to win in this economy. Because even if a Republican does get in, it's going to take them a good 2 years, like it took Trump, to turn it around. So, if you're not ready to jump, then you can't run. You got to jump out of that starting gate, man. So save your cash. That's my best advice. All three of those: save your cash.
I love it. Paul, thanks so much for the call, man. Appreciate it.
Have a good night, everybody.
Have a great night. You bet. Thanks, Paul. The Gladiator, folks, from his compound there in North Phoenix. Well, speaking of Save Your Cash, I play this on the Tuesday show, The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy, our once-a-month fun show. And it's kind of a tribute to Wall Street And we thank our Irish pirate tech wizard for getting us some new audio. It's called Money Never Sleeps, pal. Money Never Sleeps.
Yeah.
Money never sleeps, pal. Just made 800,000 Hong Kong gold. It's been wired to you.
Play with it. You done good, but you gotta keep doing good. I showed you how the game works. Now school's out.
Mr. Gecko, I'm there for you 110%.
No. You don't understand. I wanna be surprised.
Astonish me, pal. New info. I don't care where or how you get it. Just get it. My wife tells me you made a move on Darien. Well, here's some inside info for you. That Euroflash GQ type she's going out with got big bucks. Well, he's putting her feet to sleep. Exit visas are imminent. So I don't want you losing your place in life.
Ah, oh, Jesus. I wish you could see this. Lights coming up. I've never seen a painting that captures the beauty of the ocean in a moment like this. I'm gonna make you rich, Bud Fox. Yeah, rich enough you can afford a girl like Darien. This is your wake-up call, pal. Go to work.
Yes, and the Von Wien Show is your wake-up call, America. Never forget that. And now the Trump presidential campaign. I can hear a corrupt political official or aide to Trump right now whispering in his ear. He says this, who cares about your old political base? Who puts you in power to begin with, Mr. Trumpy? Just be sure to talk about the low black and minority unemployment at every campaign stop. And you are sure to win, sir. Always a crowd pleaser, Mr. President. You know that conversation is going on. And a recent article on future nuclear war is out there. The article states that a nuclear attack on U.S. soil would most likely target one of six cities, New York, Chicago, Houston, Los Angeles, San Francisco, or, God forbid, Washington, D.C. These are all Democrat-run cities. To many Americans, these terms, though unfortunate, are acceptable. In Italia, Meloni, the so-called far-right government, will soon force NGO ships flying flags from other countries like France, Germany, Norway, to accept the migrants they pick up in the Mediterranean Sea. So no more dumping them on Italian shores. The mafia in Italy has been given free rein to, shall we say, make sure those ships don't dock at their ports, that they run, control, and operate. As the Italians say, persona non grata. How about those apples? How about that bowl of pasta? Love it. And the Netflix series Madoff, the monster of Wall Street, claimed that an international crime organization, possibly the Corleone family from the Godfather movie, was also a victim of Madoff and allegedly intended to kill him, like in the actual Godfather movie. Well, I say don't cross the Corleone family or steal their money, or you will pay the price and suffer the consequences. And also, lots of news tonight. Have you heard of the spy Ana Montes? She spied for communist Cuba for years inside the U.S. government. Now she's about to walk free, being set free by the feds. Spy Ana Montes, we're going to make you famous, baby. And my show will not forget you, for our memory is like a steel trap, rest assured. And in Sweden, Happy New Year, Sweden. We love you a long time. But they've been rocked by multiple shootings as a historic crime wave of mongrels from the third world carries into the new year. Yes, they are people who do not belong in Sweden. We will call them what we will. I want to ask Sweden how that massive African third world immigration is working out for them. Not too well, it sounds like. And in World War II news tonight, Poland is furious after Germany and the old Reich rejects the Polish government's $1.3 trillion World War II reparations claim. I would reject Poland's demands too. They prodded Germany before the war, and the Polish generals used to boast before World War II that many people don't know how they should invade Germania. Hitler, in my view, just beat them to the punch. And many people don't know there are many border skirmishes between Germany and Poland before the war. That's why Hitler invaded. And most people also don't know the deal was between Hitler and Stalin that when Hitler invaded from the west, the Red Army invaded from the east at the same time. It's one of those little facts of history that they don't like to teach you in high school or college. It's a sin of omission. But on my show, we will tell you the truth. Now it's time for Lincoln from Flyover Country. Now after him, we have a call from Florida. We got to them earlier, but they were not there. So after Lincoln, we'll try them again, I believe, in the Tallahassee area. Lincoln is ready to step up to the plate, stand and deliver to America. God, a presidential candidate, Paul the Gladiator, and now you. Awesome, man. Welcome.
Yeah, it's not every week you get a presidential candidate on your show.
Pretty cool.
As far as that guy, I got to say, there were a couple of things that he said that I kind of agree with the guy on. I mean, I'm not a fan of unfettered capitalism either.
Right.
And I agreed with the guy on as far as healthcare, as far as European style healthcare. I agree with him on those couple of things. But you know what? When a person tells me that they're for open borders, literally open borders, their stance on every single other issue doesn't matter. We're done because they just lost me. So,
right.
I mean, that's a deal breaker for me. If you're for open borders, then I don't care if I agree with you on everything else. We're done.
Right. And I wasn't trying to sabotage this campaign, but I have a knack for doing that. I want to beat it out of any candidate. If you call the show, I will ask you very pointed questions, and I love the most basic questions. Are you simply for an American border, yes or no? He emphatically said, no, I want an open border. I want everyone to come over here. Okay, that's your platform. I get it. We got it out of you. So now I say let the people decide, you know? Crazy.
Yeah, there's, once someone tells me they're for open borders, I mean, there's really no point in us even talking about any other issue because I'm gone. I mean, it's
me
as
too.
Simple as that. To me,
nice
to me,
guy, smart guy.
Demographics is to me, demographics is destiny. I don't care what your plan is on anything else. If you want to, if we don't agree with demographics, is the rest of it is irrelevant.
Yeah, yes, I agree, man. Because if you don't have demographics in, you know, borders, language, culture, you know, in a strong nation, you got nothing. I mean, you got the best European healthcare system in the world. But if you don't, but if it's being ransacked by third world people by the millions, tens of millions, it's going to go broken, you know, a year or two. So what good is it then? A broke system? And now we're going to blame billionaires? When really we should be blaming the open border. But this is really the convenient leftist argument. We can't blame billionaires for everything. Sometimes it's something as basic as border security, port security, airport security, you know?
I mean, we can get into, like, the fancy stuff and the class warfare. We can get into this and we can get into that. And those are all valid things to talk about, discuss. But I think you start with the very, very basics. I mean, just let's get the basics out of the way, and then we can get into the whole class warfare thing and capitalism versus whatever, versus whatever, versus whatever, and things like that. But let's first establish that we have a nation of our own people. And then go from there.
That would be nice, wouldn't it? That would be awesome. Do we have a nation of our own people? I don't think so. You know, I've talked about this before, and last night as well, and I call America a Tower of Babel. You know, we have like 100 different cultures and creeds over here, 100 different languages, dialects. You walk into a mall, do you always hear English? No. I hear Middle East, you know, Asian, you know, Spanish, I know a bit of, being here in the Southwest.
Ebonics.
But America really is a Tower of Babel. We are the new Babylon.
You hear more Ebonics than you do pretty much anything else nowadays.
Well, yeah, it's the ghettoization of America. Absolutely it is. You're right. Ebonics is king. We was kings, right? They always say that. We was kings.
We built in pyramids.
We flew around in our wings, they would say on TV, we flew around. And that's how we built them thousands of years ago. Really? Really? I'm not buying it. Don't believe a word of it.
No, I gotta say, we talked about this last night, man, and I thought about it today. And, you know, I'm opposite of you as far as the whole house debacle. I'm loving this house shit.
No, I love it too.
I love it.
I'm enjoying this.
The more chaos, the better.
I've been laughing all day about it.
Yeah, I was thinking about some of the things. The reason I can't stand Kevin McCarthy, and I do not want Kevin McCarthy to be the speaker of that. Not that it matters, because if he doesn't get it, some other guy is going to get it. That's also some guy I'm not going to like. But, you know, Kevin McCarthy, he condemned Trump over the January 6th incident and say he wants the insurrectionists punished to the full extent of the law. You know, he just supported the whole faggot marriage bill, which includes gay lifestyle centers. You know, he's like fully for whatever, spending unlimited amounts of money to Ukraine. The guy wears a freaking, you know, Ukrainian little thing in his pocket, in his jacket pocket. You know, the guys for, like, just unlimited amounts of visa and green card giveaways and amnesty for dreamers. The guy was for supporting, you know, removing Confederate monuments, Confederate flags, supported red flag laws. He supported making Juneteenth a national holiday. He was offered, you know, lockdowns and mask mandates. He's pro-vax. And the biggest one I can think of at all, he's fully, completely, absolutely loved and endorsed by the Republican Jewish Coalition. So he's out with me.
I saw that. Yes. Oh, yeah.
So I'm just, I can't stand the Republican Party. I'm a person that wants the entire Republican Party to burn to the ground completely and rebuild from anew. So I enjoy as much chaos as possible. Now, I will say, on the other hand, the holdouts, the 20 people, 21, I guess now, that are holding out, not going along with it, I don't like them either. I mean, my God, today they, you know, they appoint some freshman, Byron Donalds, some freshman house member who doesn't even really know just got there pretty much. They endorsed him and they put him
right
up there. And the reason for putting him up there is so we can elect the first African American Speaker of the House, and he gets two rounds of standing ovations from the Republicans to give him two standing ovations. Like, what did this guy do to deserve that position? He just got there. He's done nothing. The only reason they named him is because he's black. They just wanted the virtue signal.
That's right. That's all it is. This is the only country that I've said before, and I'm very blunt and direct. We're the only country that elevates blacks to instant stardom because they are black. Okay, America loves black and brown, black and brown, black and brown. It's the new flavor. I don't care if you're born black or brown or purple or green, but just because you're black doesn't mean you're the magical Negro in the movies and you're uber smart and you are a know-it-all because you have black skin. It's ridiculous. When I see whites clap like seals for that stuff, they're brainwashed, they're programmed, and it's silly. Let's start looking at merit, resume, what you've done, actions, right? What your accomplishments are.
Think about how silly this is. They get on the stage. I think it was, who was it? It was the, I can't remember the guy's name now. He's like trying to scold his fellow Republicans, saying, we had a chance to elect the first African-American Speaker of the House. Well, if that's what they care about, if that's what's important, then fuck, why not just vote for Hakeem Jeffries? You get the same thing, the first black Speaker of the House. I mean, that's kind of a silly argument. Vote for Donald because he'll be the first black Speaker. Well, so were the other guys. So why not just vote for him if that's all you care about?
That's all they care about. I know. It's all they care about is black. It's like, look, folks, I will burst a bubble of the newbies that are, and the normies that are listening, and Lincoln will too. If you go around the world, I've traveled around the world a little bit. Most blacks, and by the way, Obama did nothing for the blacks to begin with, but most blacks are not elevated and they are put down in most other countries. The recent story of Brittany Griner in Russia, they hate blacks in Russia. How do I know this? My brother is an engineer and he's been to Moscow. Okay? He's a petroleum engineer. He's been in Moscow for a few months, and he could tell me directly the culture there. She was a black, lesbian, more or less liberal Democrat person who brought drugs or the hash oil into the country, whatever the contraband was, and they threw the book at her. They didn't give her a pass. They didn't kiss her black ass. They arrested her, put her in the prison. That's how they do it. Only in America are you taught to kiss the black ass. I'm being very blunt. In America, if you don't kiss black ass, they'll call you a racist. That's how the new narrative is. That's the agenda. You'll notice that. Lip service won't cut it. You got to kiss the black ass. You got to kiss the ring. The narrative, the agenda is black. And if you don't accept it, then, you know, you are one of those people that live in the suburbs. And that we all know out here that America's turned into Planet of the Apes, like the movie. The movie was a precursor for future America, what most Americans don't know. It had a political undertone to it, that this is the future of America. And the more every year that goes by, I'm just going, we're becoming more and more like that movie where whites were hunted down. Charlton Heston was, put in shackles. They rounded up Whitey because Whitey was evil and bad. And they even had propaganda that he couldn't talk or speak. Remember in the movie. And if he did talk or speak, it was even more evil. The movie was a political... I'm even surprised that movie was made by Hollywood. Hollywood made the movie not knowing the writer was like us. And he wrote a movie very creatively and got it through the Hollywood censors. One more strike. He struck gold with that movie, but that movie is a real indicator. Pop culture. He put it into pop culture. Look at America today. They're not trying to bring in people from Sweden or Norway or Germany, white Europeans. And by the way, Europe was white Europe. It was the white man's Europa back in the day. All America seems to want, if you're black or brown from a third world country, if you're a shoeless communist peasant, if you have no money and no skills, we love you. Can't wait to bring you in. With no resume, no skills, no money, you'll be on the federal dime forever. Welfare, EBT card, food stamps, you name it. What do you think, Mr. Lincoln?
Well, there's some people in my Telegram chat from Scotland, from England. Actually, there's several. But I guess there's this new thing in Ireland right now, this new big controversy in Ireland where Ireland has brought in so many blacks, just refugee Somalians, and there's a flood it all into, well, you've seen the streets of England, and it's not even recognizable. London's not even recognizable. London looks like some city in Ethiopia or some shit. But the big thing now is the big controversy right now in Ireland is that now they get all these blacks there, and now the blacks are claiming that the real Irish, the first Irish, the people who settled Ireland were blacks. So that's their homeland, and the Irish that are there now need to get the fuck out because the original Irish were black. So that is their land. You need to get the fuck out, Whitey. This is our land.
That's what they do. They go into a country and they rewrite the history and they say, Whitey, you should feel guilty because I'm black and the whites were slave owners, blah, blah, blah. They were really a lot of Jewish slaves. But that's a whole other rabbit hole to go down. What it is basically they take over the country and they want the whites to vacate the lands that we conquered in war, in battle, and they want to move in and take it for free. And then they want to ghettoize it. Because it's too nice. And they say, oh, it's gentrified neighborhoods in America. They're too nice. They're too white, in other words. We need to ghettoize them. Make them more like the hood, more like the projects, more like the urban areas, full of, vice, crime, graffiti, et cetera. It's all part of the program. I'm glad the Irish people are standing up to that crap over there. It's ridiculous.
All I got to say about that is when I go to a gas station and I pull up at the gas station because I want to go in and get a fountain soda or I want to go in and buy a pack of smokes or something, if I pull up to a gas station and, and I'm getting ready to get out of my car and walk inside because I'm only been in there for a minute to grab whatever, one thing or something, I can tell you one thing, I don't look around to see if there's any whites around before I lock my door or not.
Well, whites have traditionally had a high trust society. Well, they have a high trust society.
I don't.
And the immigrants make this country a low trust society.
I don't look around and say, that looks like it might be a couple of Nazis or white supremacists. I better lock my car door. No, I don't. That thought never crosses my mind.
Lincoln, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you, man. Good call tonight.
Hey, good talking to you last night, brother. I will.
We'll do it again. Sure.
I'll talk to my Telegram chat, man.
I will. I will hit your Telegram chat again. I really enjoyed that, man. That was lots of fun. I had no sleep today, but I had a good time talking to you. We'll do it again for sure.
Have a good night, brother.
Thanks. Thanks, Lincoln. Have a great night. You bet. Hell victory. Absolutely. We'll have a little culture creed segment on the show. This is real stuff. This is the underbelly of politics, and it's got to be said. Everyone has no balls to say it but me, and on my show, we will say the unsayable. We will say and think the unthinkable. We will outthink and outmaneuver our enemies and the competition. This is a year of just seize it, like carpe diem. Seize the day. Outthink, outmaneuver your enemies. Anyone in your way is an obstacle. This is the year for us to march forward. And we've got to, this is the time also, if you want to move and relocate, do it. Get in position. So when Biden eventually gets out, let's hope in 2 years, because Trump, the Q-tards tell us, will get installed any day now. We need to get, you want to be in position so you can profit from hopefully a better economy. Hopefully. Remember, it's the year of the water rabbit, the year of hope. We're hoping that you make more money. We're hoping that my audience does well. I want my audience to outthink, outmaneuver the competition. While they're eating hamburger helper, we're eating street blocks, right? That's how you want to do it. And like I always say, when your neighbor loses his job, it's a recession. When you lose yours, it's a depression. Never forget that. Let's get to our tech wizard, Irish Pirate, tonight, who we appreciate his two fun packs. And let's hear what he has to say from the streets of America. Irish Pirate, welcome to the show. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Indeed.
How's it going, man?
2023. Yeah, shrinkage has already started because it's 2023 and everything is going to just shrink until it gets back to its own reality while everybody freaks out and starts to declare themselves for president and all sorts of interesting things.
As far as
the Green Party, I've always been anti-Green Party. I mean, it's nothing personal to John who called earlier, but... they don't have any science. And if you think about it, he's talking about like the eight guys that control the world. All they did is come in and claim, if you follow my philosophy or you're afraid of this one thing and you take my solution, then we'll be better off. And pretty much that's how the Green Party is going to have to take effect. If you really want to start a new country, can I offer a suggestion to all you guys out there who think you've got it made? Number one, the world has been dumbed down. So you need a win-win situation with whoever it is you're going to run with. And yes, you're going to need borders because you need to tell these eight people, you're not coming into my country. We have borders. So that's part of the problem. You have to be able to say no to somebody. Now, I know that doesn't sound nice,
right,
but good people have to be bad to bad people. You don't have to be
nice
to bad people. You can be nice to the good people. So I want you to be good, not nice. Here's the most important thing there. If you're going to write new rules and everybody's dumbed down, 75% of the people that you are going to be in constituency with have to be able to read your stuff, and they're reading about third grade level right now. So maybe you don't write it quite like the rights to bear and keep arms shall not be infringed. You could just say everybody keeps their guns. There, that would do it.
Yes.
You know, something simple like that. And that's what you're going to need to do from here on out. You're not going to have this silly philosophy. Everybody should be able to do something that's going to be sustainable. Well, what does that mean? I don't know, but it sounds really good.
I hate
it's
that
like, oh
word
God,
sustainable. I cringe when I hear that word. Is it sustainable?
Yeah,
is it sustainable? Bunch of fags saying that. Ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, the real term sustainable means that we can keep doing it over and over again. If you remember the Iroquois a long time ago before, they failed to be, I guess, a society, but, they had some really good ideas. If a law came out and it was determined that it was not good for their seventh generation of children. It was struck by rule. Any law that they came up with, if it was not good for the seventh generation, it did. They struck it. It was our version of constitutional or not. And I liked that idea. Constitutional is just as good, but that's the focus you need to be looking at. While they're busy trying to tell all our kids, you know, you want to be a different gender, which is pretty hard to do considering that you have this, you know, this thing called genes, you know, that pretty much tell you what gender you are. I don't know how you're going to change those. Which, speaking of which, there was a thing that came out. Kate Daly was interviewing Dr. Lee Merritt, and Lee Merritt hit something, and I want to put it out on this show. You know me as a guy who was in the military, and
yes,
when I was in the military, my specialty was things like, oh, I don't know, wavelengths, RF, things like that. I mean, I don't want to go into great detail of, you know, top secret triple plus, but the important thing is that, for example, when I got out of the service, one of the first things I bought was an RF. I lay down and I take the frequencies that used to be in the earth, and I use that to heal myself. And I also do that for my brethren. You know, in other words, Kelly's got one. She got hers at a better discount because she's a better shopper. But I had the money at the time. I just went out and found the Father's Day sale at that particular. Long story short, then, here's the thing. The guy that is the Chinese version of the guy who invented CRISPR, he's the guy that tried to do the so-called gain-of-function stuff for China.
Right,
Zhang Hui is his last name. Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you realize, because you got a bunch of people that are saying that the COVID stuff was out long before then, that they invented some sort of a virus and whatnot. But in 2018, he said, we still don't know. We know how to tear apart genes with our CRISPR system, but we're having a heck of a time trying to put stuff together. In other words, trying to put a head on the beast we created. We don't know how to do that. We're still in trouble with that. And there is no evidence that they ever learned how to do that. There's no evidence that they ever put something together that they knew what it was. And it's clear that we're being used for testing, which means they still don't know if they got it, even if they successfully got anything. And my position has always been they lied their butt off about an actual virus. They just wanted to make a bunch of money on selling you that they have a cure for whatever it is they scared you into. I mean, it could be real, but the important thing is that it wasn't strong enough to be real. And now we see what happened if you took the stab. And so now that brings us to the Buffalo Bills defensive back, or shall we say the guy that came off the bench, which he was pretty good, actually. I thought he was going to stay on the team and be a starter eventually. The jury's still out on whether or not that was due to the jab, but they're sure not talking about it. Social media did come out, and they were angry that the NFL was going to say, okay, you got your 5 minutes, get back on the field and finish the game. That didn't work out too well. The players openly said, and you could hear them on the open mic saying, we're not going to play. And the reason for that, and not too many people are discussing this either, is that usually when you see somebody carted off a field like that, you know, let's say their leg fell off during the game, they're going to reattach it until he gets back. He's holding his thumb up on the stretcher going like, I'm with you, man. I'm on the team. You know, win this one for me. You know, he's showing that he's conscious and all that. Okay, this is the first time in American football someone left the field and he would not hold his thumb up. He was out. He was effectively dead, resurrected to some extent. And, you know, even in the hospital, if they shut the machines off, he's dead. I mean, maybe that'll change, but, you know. And so they're in total shock. These are multimillion-dollar players that always thought the worst thing that could happen is I don't play anymore. You know, I'm going to take a couple of hits. You know, I'm going to have to live my life differently. And I've known a lot of people that were going for a scholarship, like in the college ranks, but that happened to them, and they just had to switch their, you know, usually the ones that I knew became cheerleaders and started throwing girls around instead of throwing guys around. And it was a lot more fun.
Right. But, exactly.
But anyway. But anyway, the long story short on this is the NFL has failed to address this as a business because, you know, I was a sportscaster for 8 years on the radio for 10 publicly. And All I can tell you is that it hasn't been addressed yet. And they're scared to death to say that whether or not the jab might have been part of it. And the answer is, I hope nobody jumps on the bandwagon that says, okay, now mm-hmm. we've got it. The answer is, look anywhere else. There are literally hundreds of other athletes who have taken, you know, fall downs on fields and stuff like that.
DeMar Hamlin this past week. DeMar Hamlin, who fell down.
Yeah, this is the guy I'm talking about. Yeah, I'm
right,
saying,
right.
Don't try to poke it at him, saying, "Oh, it's the COVID thing." We don't know that yet. Nobody's spoken. Everybody's
That's
afraid
right.
to say it. And I need to hear the deafening silence for, I don't know, about another 3 years if they're not going to talk about it. I'm okay with nobody
right.
talking about it because everybody's afraid to say the obvious. It's like all the other guys around the world that are clearly dropping from COVID shots. Don't know whether or not Hamlin's one of those guys. But I can tell you this. Don't try to pin the tail on the Buffalo Bills saying he's the most obvious one because he's not. I do know that when you take a hit like that, like a good example is MMA, people take shots to the head. You know, let's say
yeah.
somebody kicks somebody in the head, and they look like they're fighting, but in reality it takes a moment in time, especially if you took a liver kick actually, and then you eventually fall down. But then what happens is your body normally recoups, right? If you fall down and they call the game and you're just laying there and nothing happens to you, you know, unless you're Dooku Kim, if you remember him, he was a boxer. He fought Ray Mancini. Yeah, and Mancini just kept hitting him, and he just kept coming. And the reality there is somebody should have stopped the fight. There was no decency in his corner. And so he just kept coming until he took too many head traumas and actually died of them. But that still wasn't his heart. And in this case,
right.
to have a heart attack after suffering a head trauma, that's
yeah.
not normal. That's the part
mm-hmm.
no
right.
one has attempted to solve. And I'm waiting for the science to show up. Same thing with the Green Party. I'm waiting for the science to show up. If you
science.
Want to be like Newton and Linnaeus and all those guys, you better, first of all of them are clearly Christians. Yeah. And so you got to believe in something. I'm not going to say you got to be a Christian, although it helps, but you got to believe in something.
Right.
And when I hear somebody say, all we need to do is make everybody believe like I do, otherwise the world is terrible, I say, first of all,
mm-hmm.
that is communism. That is the Green Party. That is whatever China is. That is all that. And that is those
told
eight guys that are trying to rule
I think
the world.
Green is the new red. Green is the new red. You know?
Yeah, and those eight guys trying to rule the world that he was discussing, that's what they're telling you, too. If everybody would just think like me, then you'll end up dead and I get all the money. And it's like, well, so
mm-hmm.
I know one thing. I'm not voting for you, dude, because you didn't have any solutions for my problems.
That's
Luckily
right.
for you, I do. I have solutions for my problems. I'm working on it. Unfortunately, there's a whole lot more people out there being taken. And you read the Bible and it definitely tells you, can the entire world be fooled at the same time? The answer is absolutely. That's my religion
mm-hmm.
preaches that. Unless people keep their head on straight, keep their eyes on the prize, they can absolutely be fooled by every stupid thing that comes down the pike. So you have to believe in
mm-hmm.
real science. You have to believe in real mathematics. You know, it's perfectly okay to be skeptical, which I definitely am. And like I said, you're going to need some third grade rules if you want to try and revamp anything for the better from here. Otherwise, the best thing you got going, ask any Australian, ask any Canadian, it's got to be the U.S. Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we've got. And it does say that creator guy. And I've mentioned it before. The other organic documents, there's three other ones in the United States, given 10 more jobs. So given what you want, you don't even have to identify him by name if you don't want. But it means there's something above us. And it's not another one of us. It's not somebody from the outside. Like, you know, kind of like the Federal Reserve tries to do. I mean,
right.
No. It inevitably... When you wake up in the morning, in your bedroom, hopefully, or in the appropriate bedroom, I guess, is your selected bedroom, that's where you start your day. That's
right.
where you start your day. And if you're really, really good, then you could control what's outside that bedroom. Maybe you might get lucky and be able to do most of your house, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you get really, really good and can control your house and make all the right decisions, hey, maybe you can influence your neighborhood. I mean, the whole idea that you're going to change the world with your silly ass ideas, I'm sorry. You started in the wrong place. Yeah, you
that's
fix
right.
Yourself.
I agree.
You fix yourself, and that's what Christianity teaches. They say, "Hey, everybody's looking at you like you're in a fishbowl. I mean, there's nothing you can do that nobody's not going to notice." And I'm okay with that by now. I'm certainly okay with that by now. I'm used to it. I like it. I like to tell people, "Hey, you know, we can talk about science anytime. We can talk about politics anytime." Because the reason is, it's not going to change the way I see the world if you tell me something that's different than what I thought you were going to say, or something I may have not wanted to hear for the 17 millionth time. I just say, I'll laugh and be able to say, well, all I want to know is why you believe what you believe then. That's usually what I'm going to say to everybody I have arguments with. And they just don't have factual basis. The ones that give me the looniest stuff, and believe me, they need you to believe loony stuff if they don't have any science or any belief system. They're going to tell you you have 89,000 genders. They're going to tell you that, you know, somehow a variant of a virus is going to come back stronger. That's not in science. It's never been done. Yet it's in lots of sci-fi
right.
movies. It mutated and now everybody's going to die. That never happened. And if you think about it, cannot happen. Just because a piece of DNA is missing in, say, a bad guy, and I'm under the assumption, I agree with Dr. Lee Merritt, take a look at the six words that you're not allowed to say on television. You know, oxychloroquine is one, ClO2 is one, but they're all cures for, get this, if you have microbes in you running away. That's what the six have in common that they don't let you say. And, you know, that would include,
right.
like, for example, your response to snake venom, but the important thing is that the six things that they absolutely cut, they will kick you off. They will do whatever they do only if you suggest what we need to do is control the microbes in your body. Well, I'm not a doctor like that. I can't tell you absolutely that's true, but I think it's really funny that that's what they key on. I think it's really funny that that's what's going to get you kicked off a platform, and more power
right.
to get kicked off a platform. I mean, it was just this week another 19,000 doctors are challenging the system. I mean, I hope they all get
yeah, I heard about
and
that.
To start a new platform. I'm all into that. And so the truth will come
sure.
out.
Sure.
All science leads to truth. All science leads to truth. All truth leads to God. I'm good. Let's go. Let's have it out. And let's make sure it's actually what you and I would call a debate, which means an argument is, you know, a proposition. And not just, as Monty Python did one time in a skit, simple negation of somebody else's, no, it isn't, right? I mean, that's a
right.
funny skit, because that's most of the arguments today. No, it isn't. Well, why isn't it? Because it isn't. No, I'm just taking the opposite
because
side
it isn't,
argument.
Exactly.
And
love
well,
that.
No, that's not what
so
makes it
I take it, Irish,
you're
not going to, right. So I take it, Irish, you are not voting for the Green Party candidate for president.
Never have, never will. You're kind of like 7-Up and caffeine. Never had it, never will. No.
Right.
And
right.
I'll be honest, I don't mind.
I wish him well, though.
Party candidate
yeah.
out there. Yeah. I
right.
want him running. I really do. I mean, just because I'm not going to vote for
sure.
him doesn't mean I have to stomp out all the Green Party candidates. No. You get out there and run. I mean, one of the
like
coolest
that
guys
voice.
I met was a 19-year-old that was working elections here as a representative of the Green Party. He bought, but he was drinking the Kool-Aid. But it was really fun to listen to his dreams. Right. I mean,
right now,
do a voice of a
Green Party candidate or some other candidate at some other party. Can you do that on the spot?
Can I what?
Can you do like a funny voice like you just did?
Oh,
of a candidate running
yeah,
for
okay.
office.
Oh, let me tell you what this 19-year-old is like, because he was one of the most likable
sure.
dudes ever. I decided that I would make myself a member of the Green Party because I want the whole world to be green and lush and fragrant. And
it's like, how long is this guy going to keep going? But at least it sounds like a good idea.
Are you trying to describe your girlfriend, dude? Is that what this is?
Right.
So
that's great.
Yeah.
Oh,
either that
love
or
it.
Maybe he's just going to be part of the Chinese CCP later on. He'll say, "No, I want everything to be green. I just decided to be green. I'm not red anymore. I want you to be green." So one of my favorite characters that are out there is InfoWars, that dragon they made. They call him Fentanyl.
Yes. Yep.
Oh, that guy is hilarious. Of course, voiced over by Alex Jones. There are some other voices
right.
they use that are not Alex Jones. Rob Dew is probably the most common one of those. Very, very fun guy. He's on some music videos that people, Patriots have put out. You know, he doesn't talk
mm-hmm.
about it. It's pretty cool. Anyway, so yeah, I love the getting into it part. And I'm always going to be like that. I love to talk to people about their weird ideas. I want them to talk. I want them to be able to explain themselves. Cause I ask one or two questions and they fall off the rails. Like, I guess I do believe we came from rocks. You know, it's like, dude,
well,
I'm
if you're running for president, yeah, and I would say if you're running for president, you better be ready for that question. I suppose, what is your position on the border? And you better be ready for that. If you're running for office, people don't want to talk to you about billionaires and economic means of production forever. Those are deep, deep rabbit holes that have been debated for centuries. People want to know in the here and now, are you for open borders or not? You know?
Okay, well,
that's what we asked.
Basically, he told you that borders don't matter if we're a commune, right? If we're all
that's what he said. He wants a commune for America, open borders. Well, that's his position. That's fine. But
well,
we need to know where he stands. Now we know where he stands.
Communes start with land. I'm sorry. Communes start with borders. I mean, eventually they get different
right.
if they're successful. But they do start with borders, and they can't be successful without them. And I'm sorry to know that he doesn't know that yet, but I'm willing to let him try and fail. I mean, bankruptcy is a good thing. It allows people like me to not have to put up with most of the stupid companies in the world. The exception to that rule, Elon Musk, who has never produced a product yet is one of the richest people in the world. I don't know how he got away with it. The neat thing is, eventually, now he owns Twitter. He's going to have to produce a product. He's getting serious. I don't know what's going to happen from all that, but he's having to face the music because all your ideas about going to the moon and all this other stuff have never come to fruition. Your cars suck. You know, your electricity ideas suck. Yet a guy named like Ben Franklin, I just reheard the Paul Harvey thing, rest of the story on Ben Franklin again. He reminded all of us that Ben Franklin was way ahead of his time and was in all sorts of areas of different sciences and things, plus was a patriot and a diplomat. And he failed math twice in high school. Twice.
Yes, he did.
He was not a mathematician then.
No.
He needed to be part of the system to learn how to find the right answers. Boy, I wish the rest of us thought like that, where if I could get
into
the system, I'll find the answers and give it back to the people. And ironically, Green Party John did say he wanted to do that. The answer is, I think you're going to find that that's a very aspiring answer. It just won't be through the Green Party. I think you'll find
that's
it in some
right.
places where it's already been installed. So, yeah.
And that's a great place to end the show.
I love you as the entrepreneur that you're setting yourself out to be. We can't live without that in America. We can't live without that in the world. Somebody has to say the current sucks, and I can prove it. And then the hard part
right.
is they're going to ask you, so what's better? And you just have to have an answer.
That's
you
right.
didn't have one. That's okay.
You better
That's
have
okay.
an answer.
I have
That's
one.
That's right.
But I don't want to be a leader. I hate leading.
When you come on my show,
really,
you better have an answer.
I despise authority so much, I make a good leader. And so if you made me the leader of something, I will run it so well, but I'll find somebody else to do the dirty work for me. I will delegate like a madman, which is
I
nice
love it.
Because
I love
I'll find
it.
Good people to put into those situations, and then at least there's a chance for survival that way. I thought people keep trying to say I'm the most intelligent person they know. They don't know Cacao Kelly. She's got a higher IQ than me. So,
yeah,
again, that's. And I'm not used to
By the way,
dumb
she's
guy.
Called the show a few times. Tell her that we were going to go to her, and she dropped off the line on a few prior shows. So we'll get her on the next one.
Well,
Iris, thanks so much, man. Have a wonderful new year. And we thank you for the fun facts and appreciate that. Great work.
Well,
and we will talk a lot this year, my friend.
I still got some leftovers.
I'm sorry?
I didn't get everything into those two packs. I worked on a lot more stuff than that. So
I can't wait.
Coming.
I can't wait. I love them all.
I like what came out in the anything with dialogue so far seems to be the best taken on this show.
I love
sure that was
the audio. The dialogue is great.
Some of the stuff. Yeah, and that there's some wizardry there. And I will say this: in the near future, I'm already talking with somebody who's going to build me another computer that I can get stuff to you
made quicker and better, and then let my wonderful computer do the actual sending it to you, which does nothing does that better than that. But I want to be able
awesome.
To, you know, there's some technology upgrades that are going to be happening here, and I'm looking forward to that. So anyway,
God,
thank you.
Great.
Thank you, Von Wehunt. Thank you, America. Thank you, Arizona, for having cool laws, at least when I walked in. You had a cool sheriff and a few other things. Couldn't count on that lasting forever. But I'm here for you now. I'm not going anywhere. I asked God. He said, "Do you think you're leaving? Are you kidding me?" I'm like, "No, I was just asking. I got this strategic location thing. You know, I thought I might move one of the top 10 places. I thought there were other, like, you don't know where you're at, do you? You don't know
right,
how cool Arizona is, do you? But I do now.
And Lincoln, we have to retake the state. We're going to reclaim Arizona, retake the state, my friend. We're going to take it back. That's what we're going to do.
I don't know what we're going to turn it into, but it sounds like a good idea.
Damn straight. Have a great night.
Yeah.
Irish, happy new year. Thanks so much, man. Great, great call. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
You bet. It's for our tech wizard, Irish Pirate. I could talk to him for hours about a lot of things. Very interesting, very intelligent tech wizard there, and a great caller to the show. Great collaborator. We need more people like him in the country. It would be much better. I do sing his praises, as well as my other callers, because I have the best in the biz. I want to give people a chance to express themselves. The only unfortunate thing, we never have enough time to talk more in depth. There's so many rabbit holes that we could bring up and talk about. It's amazing, and it's good all at the same time. Well, we thank you all for being here tonight. We'll have a little promo. I'll come back on, and we will end out and round
Von's
out.
Von's got the making of a champion there, you know. That's why he's back on the air. He's got his show. You got to tune into him. He's on Thursday nights, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Call in if you got something you want to tell him or something you want to tell America. That's the Von Wehunt Show. That's right, at DarkSkyRadio.com. Hey, this is a rock here.
God, I love that. Well, I say that Trudeau of Canada is the bastard son of Fidel Castro. That the resemblance there between those two is just amazing. Personally, I wish the Corleone family had never left Cuba in the Godfather movie and had a big shootout with Castro and his commie henchmen. But, of course, that is just being cocky, I guess. Well, the waves of migrants keep showing up on Florida's coastline. A man wrote the show and said it's about his current situation inside Florida. He says Governor DeSantis was actually a patriotic governor. He sent the state's National Guard to shoot on sight, get the Caribbean leaders on the phone, and tell them that he'll send a squad of assassins to take care of them and their families if they don't put a stop to this utter madness on our shores. Well, that's what a guy said, and very interesting, very passionate beliefs, to be sure. We will have many great shows during the year. You want to stay tuned to the Von Wehunt Show and catch me on Gab. You can always reach me at VonWehuntShow@gmail.com. We thank you all for being here tonight. You heard a Green Party presidential candidate, and this is a platform for all America. Heard many great callers. As I broadcast each week from my mountain stronghold, here in the mountains of this great state. We thank you all for being here. The border has been invaded. The border is out of control. We'll end the show with this from the Wall of Voodoo.
estudiante, divertido, espalda,